Morning. We're Masechet Eruvin Daf Mem Hay, and we're starting at the bottom of Daf Mem Dalad Amud Bet. So we had a question over here about Havla'at Tchumin, right? Whether the Tchum overlap one another, basically. That's the best way to say it. If the Tchumim overlapped each other, would we be able to use the interlap? We're trying to prove this answer here from the cave idea, that because the cave was 4,000 amas inside, even though it narrowed to the front, you'd be able to walk from the left entrance across to the right entrance and still have a 2,000 amas on the other side. So basically, we proved that the roof, the opening of that cave was balua, was absorbed into the overlap of the 2,000 amas.
What is the company in that little town that enable around the town? What is it? Could there be any difference, any material difference?
We spoke about that yesterday. Remember, I even showed you the picture. We said we already learned in the Gemara up until now. If you arrived in the town, this was this picture over here. If you're a shovet, then in other words, you'd put your bread down there, and then from there you're 2,000 amas to there. When you arrived here, you'd be stuck. You only could walk there. You couldn't have the whole town. How much of
the tunnel is not comparable to the town? Or you think just moved into the?
Well, firstly, that's exactly the question the Gemara asked yesterday. Was Amar Veloshanach Bein Hechad Shabbat Ba'Avir Mechitzot Miodyom. The town would be mechitzot ba'od yom. That's exactly the question that he asks him. Sorry, now that I understand what you're talking about. That's exactly the question that's going on over here. This is Rabbi and Abaya. Because Abaya says to Rabbi, I told his brother, but he asked, and Rabbi says to Abaya, what are you talking about? Abaha, lo shani lach, don't you make a distinction between hechad de shavat ba'avir mechitzot mi ba'od yom, when you were shovet in the walls of the city, Erev Shabbos, where you were shovet outside, now your end of your tchum brought you into the walls. When you were shovet in the city, so there you got the whole city. When you were shovet outside and you walk into the city, you're limited to only end up working farther than your 2,000 amas. Right? So he says to him, and when he tells you, you don't shovet, no, look at the Rashi over here quickly, but lo shanilach. It's about 5-6 lines on the bottom of the Amud there, on Amud Bet of Mem Dalet. V'lo shani lach ha'chenami shnei tchumin ma'achmat chad shvita, like two tchumis as a result of one shvita. V'kevin de mivla le'el havu chad tchum, it's one big tchum. Aval gam matnitin, as far as our Mishni is concerned, lo shavat be'ir mechitzot shvita shnia. You never stopped where your shvita was outside the walls of that second tchum. We had the tchum overlapping with one another. We saw those blue and yellow dots yesterday. Here, Kevin, the Kanla shvita, but right, since you've now got the second shvita, too late la shvita come out. You've abandoned your first shvita. And you got up 2,000. So basically, bottom line, he's saying to his, when you were shovet outside the town and you come into the walls, right, so you're limited to where you can walk. Now, if you never made a shvita, this is what our buyer responds to, if you never had a shvita, right, then not, you wouldn't be able to have the more distance. In other words, if you arrived in the town, right, so you wouldn't say that they still have this havla'ah, that you could expand the one tchum into the other. But Hatan here brings a Mishnah, he says like this, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Shtayim Yikanes, Gimelo Yikanes. Now listen, they're going to get a little bit tricky over here. Right? And that is, we've said all the time that when a person makes an Eruv, then you walk and you arrive at the end of the 2,000 Amas, we say that you've got Dalet Amot, right? So now, I understood, and I'm sure that you also understood, maybe you didn't, but I understood that when we say a person's got Dalet Amas, we say that, let's say, for example, this is his Dalet Amas. Okay? And he's there. He can walk wherever he wants in Dalet Amot, right? That's how I understood it. He's there, he can go there, he can go there, he can go there. Well, sure, but this is going to come with this idea that if you've got Dalet Amos, so let's say this is a square, pretend this is a big square, right? And that's and he'll say, you in the middle, and you've really got two Amos to that side and two Amos to that side. But from end to end is Dalet. So he's saying that those two Amas and those two Amas are Balua, one within the other, inside the four Amas. So he's going to prove that really we do have Balua, the idea of crossing into the different Chumim, because when you're stuck in the middle, you've got four Amot, but you've got two that way and two that way. So the first two and the last two are balua, one in the other, to give you four. I don't know if I'm explaining it the best, but let's see if it comes clear inside. He says, Rabbi Eliezer said like this, Misha Yatzah, look at Rashi, Misha Yatzah Chutz Tchum Dal Shtei Amot Yikanes. If you remember, we saw yesterday, if you've got this human chain, we said the problem was, do we say Aloha is like Rabbi Gamliel, and you can walk around the walled area if you didn't shove it, or was the problem there, Rabbi Eliezer? And we said, Rabbi Eliezer is going to come up on the Nun, I think we saw it was a Nun Hay or somewhere around there, where he's going to tell us that if you are that if you outside of your Tchum, you've got two Amot to get into your Tchum. Remember that from yesterday? Right, anybody? Remember that? So now he said like this, Misha tzah chutz tchum shtei amot, you can't even go back in. Aval gimel, if it's three out, no. My high shiurah denakat, right? Where does he get this from? Love Rabbi Eliezer letame. Is Rabbi Eliezer being consistent with what he said? Am Rabbi Matnitin gamei darin amot shenatnu chachamim liyotzeit chutz tchum. If you've left your tchum, right? And now you arrive where you are and you've got four amas. Tehu be'em tza'an, he's actually in the middle of those four amas. Sheshul kol tzidav shtei amot. He's got two amas on each side. So now he'll start explaining to you now. Rabbi Eliezer says that you've got four amas. You already got two amas on each side. So now what happens is, when you got out of your tchum, if you left your tchum, why does he give you an extra two amas? Kevin de shtei amot dvukot lo betchumo. Since those two amas that are border up to your tchum, say, this is your tchum over here, this is your arba amot end over here. And there's another two amas over here. These two amas that are stuck on this tchuma, right up to the tchuma over here, up to your dalet amot. Right? Look what he says. There she had such the amot b'chut tchuma, there she had amot b'chut tchuma. Svir le'el Rabbi Eliezer, de kama'an, de muvla'an b'tchume damu umutar likanes. What does he mean over here? That these two amas are as if they're absorbed in yas. It's almost like you've got you in the middle. So you've got four amas. So four amas is two and two. Or four amas is two and two. So that's what he's saying. When you're stuck in the middle of your four amas. So really you've got your two amas here and another two amas over here. So that's why within two amas, it says if you're coming into your tchum. So really what he's saying is that you haven't got four amas, you got four, six, eight. Because you can go there, two, and two, and two, four. So you've got, this is muvla in this. So suddenly we've got this idea of, if you look, think about it carefully, if that's the line over there, and that's two, then this two and this two are really part of those four and those four. And these two over here are common to, you with me, right? So this tchum actually goes from here to here. Then this dalet amas goes from here to here. And that two amas over there is part of that and part of that. So you've suddenly got muvla, according to Rabbi Eliezer. And look what Rashi says, Alma miltehi. Remember, we had a question yesterday, right? We said one of the possibilities over here was, do we say that this milta, that muvla milta or not muvla milta? So if you look, go look at yesterday's Amud Bet. Three lines down from the wide lines, we said there, "B'may kemiflegei, mar savar havla'at chumin miltehi, umar savar lav miltehi." There's the one side of the machlokes saying there is substance to this notion of the tchumim overlapping each other. One saying, no, it's not. Suddenly we see from Rabbi Eliezer, the way he explains, being in the middle of your dalet amas, that you've got dalet amas ready from here and dalet amas from there, that dalet amas is in the middle, and really, suddenly we see muvla is milta. That's how I understand it, if I understand it correctly. So now, look, this is what Abaye is kashet to him. Because Rabbi wanted to say, it makes a difference if you shoveit ba'avir mechitzot, like in the town, for example, Steve, or not ba'avir mechitzot. And Abaye says to him, what are you talking about? Shavat lo, even if you don't shavat ba'mechitzot, you're outside, in the field, in the sadeh. Contrabdi is there, you've got your dalet amas, and you're in the middle. So that's why you can come back into your tchum if you go out two amas, because in reality, you actually got two plus two. So we're seeing over there that even when you were outside in the open space and there are no walls around you, and you were shovet in the open space, we still seem to allow you, and we say muvla. Are you with me? Anything, any of this making sense a little bit? I think it'll come clearer. So he says, so now look in the Gemara. Right, Shtaymi can ask him, well, he can ask. My love, Rabbi Lezer, the Tamid, Amar, Vuhu Be'emtza'an, you in the middle, V'arba Amot Te'yavul Rabbanan, Commander Mivlan Damu, Ukam Ekres, therefore the four armors that they're giving you are basically like an absorbed one another, and therefore he said you can go in. Alma Havla'at Chumin Miltehi. This answers our question yesterday. Rabbi Lezer seems to be saying that this concept of Havla'ah, of the Chumin being embedded one in the other, I think there's a better picture over here. You know what? No, we haven't got a better picture here. Right? So he says, therefore, Tumita is Rabbi Barachan Labaya. So now Rabbi Barachan says to Abaya, why is now bringing Rabbi Eliezer as this argument to Rabbi? So Rabbi Barachan says to Rabbi Eliezer, to Abaya, Umid Rabbi Eliezer, come on, Tafte Leilabar. You're using Rabbi Eliezer as your source of your machloket for Rabbi? He calls Mar, he's Rabbi. Right, in other words, what's his problem? Why are you bringing Rabbi Eliezer? Because that Mishnah, which we're going to see in a couple of days, look at Rashi over here, Umid Rabbi Eliezer, or Tavta Namar, Ha Plige Rabbana Levanit. In the Mishnah, it's a machloket, Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim, which means that Rabbi Eliezer is a Da'at Yachid. Rabbi Eliezer is a Da'at Yachid, Halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. How can you bring me Rabbi Eliezer? You're quoting me somebody who we all know the Halacha is not like. What sort of kasha is that? Look what he answers him. So he says to him, Amarle in Yurat, I'm quoting Rabbi Eliezer. Why? The Shmir Li Mine Demar. I heard from Rabbi myself. So Abba is saying, why am I using Rabbi Eliezer to argue with Rabbi? Because I heard from Rabbi myself that Rabbi explained Rabbi Eliezer as follows. In that Mishnah there, Machloket Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanan. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanan led Rabbi Eliezer el devar harashut. Aval devar mitzvah modulei. The Machloket there with Rabbi Eliezer. Hello, welcome, Michael. Okay, you made it. Right? That the Machloket over there with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan with regards Rashut. That's when you're allowed to go out. There's a Rashut. Remember, we saw in our Mishnah the whole idea of Rashut, but with regards to a mitzvah. Davar mitzvah is a guy's going to do a mitzvah. Look at Rashi. Aval davar mitzvah module. Umatnitin demi sheyatzah b'reshut davar mitzvahu. Because a guy, we're talking our mitzvah about going out to be kata chodesh, edu da chodesh, or a sick person, whatever the case was. Uka'ama rabba le'el davla'a lo milta. Right? There he was speaking about on a reshut, not about a mitzvah. So bottom line,
it's a picture in Kol Lashon.
Oh, is there a nice picture there?
Yeah, I think so.
Can you share it? I'm not sure. I haven't got it up here.
486. You want me to share screen?
Yeah, maybe if you can share the screen with us, because I haven't got it up. Let me see. I haven't got it yet. But I can allow you. How do I make you?
There you go. Got it?
Ah, beautiful. Okay, although that picture's coming up, that's not just yet. We're going to get to that. We're not on that yet.
No, this one here, this 46.
On the one at the top.
And at 46 and 47. This one here.
No, this this is 4, 8. We can't, which one, go down?
Yeah, there's 46.
Now this picture, these pictures are what we're on about. We haven't got to this yet.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to get to them just now. Keep it there. Keep the pictures there. We're going to get, keep it there.
All right, I'll keep it there.
But we're going to get to it just now. We're not on that yet. Right? So now, V'chol ha'yotzi la'atzil chozrin im koman. Now we had in our Mishnah, we go back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, in fact, no, I'll close it because this is all Amud Bet. We're going to get to Amud Bet. Close it in the meantime. We've still got a while. But I'll tell you to open it. Okay. So now Mishnah Kerem, V'chol ha'yotzin lehatzil chodrin limkoman. That's what our Mishnah said. He said, Mishnah Tzah b'reshut amur lo kvar nasa ma'aseh ishlo apayim ma'alach oruach. Ima ya b'toch ha'tchum kini lo yatzah. V'chol ha'yotzin lehatzil chodrin limkoman. It's a gross of afilu tuva. Even if it's more than 2,000 amas. In other words, are you saying that there's no limit once you go out if you're going out latzil? Amar teresha, but the ratio the Mishnah said apam avetulo. Therefore, reshut you're going to get 2,000 amas, not more. So Amar Rav, So now, I mean, Rabbi Avia says, so look at the Rashi quickly. Lo taima afilu tuva de lo shari la apayim vaklashmina de chojim bekli zainin. Says you're right. Really, you got only 2,000 amas, but you can come back with your armament, with your guns. We'll see that on. Here we're going to be specifically about the idea that if you went out with guns to fight, you could bring them back, or swords, whatever the case, you could bring them back. So what's the shayla? We might have thought that Lahatzil is shani. What does it mean, Lahatzil is shani? Look at Rashi Abia. If you went, the Rashi Mishnah was speaking about bringing a midwife or to go and give Eidut. But if you're going now to save yourself from enemies, they might run after you. You might even think that you can go further than that. So that's what he says. We said, what was the kashim? We said, I feel a tuva. We thought, is it more? So he says, no, it's not more, it's just for the omens. So what was that? What were we thinking originally? We thought maybe that you could go further. So he says, this is how you should say the question. Ditnan, we learned like a Mishnah as far as. Barishona, lo hayu zazin misham kol yom klo. Originally, this is a Mishnah, Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Before the takana of our Mishnah now, right? Look at Rashi. Beyotin chutz l'tchum, they were gara l'tchum la'id al-acholish. Mari b'sechel Rosh Hashanah, they're going to give Eidot. Lo ayu zazin, de mi sheyatza chutz l'tchum, ein lo ele daramut. Right? If they went out to give Eidot, let's say, and then it was no longer needed, they would be able to move, they'd be stuck, the daramas. Then the kinner ben Gamliel azakei, sheyesh lehem apayim amel l'chol ruach. Then Rabbi Gamliel said, wait a second, guys aren't going to be coming anymore. Right? If we make an Eidot like a din like this, v'lo Eidot b'yavad amru, and then he said, therefore they got their 2,000 amas. But then he said as follows, not only the guys coming to Eidot HaChodesh, and afilu chokhma ha'ba'al eled, even if you're going to need a midwife to come and give birth, v'ha'ba'al atzil min ha'gais, also if you're going to go and have to fight enemies. Right, look at Rashi, v'kamar ha'apayim min ha'nahar, or if you, like a river's flooding, or min ha'polit, there's an earthquake, or an avalanche, or min ha'dleik, there's a fire, ha'rehen kan sha'ir. They, all of these people get the din of the people of a town, in other words, the cities. They're not limited in any way whatsoever. And then okay, right. They become like the city, and therefore they aren't limited in direction, they go in any direction whatsoever. The Gemara says, on this Mishnah, yeah, the Gemara says, with two law, and no more, and just that, 2,000. But then we say, everybody goes out to save somewhere, they can get as much working as they want. So we basically narrow down the discussion to where they came back with their tools of war. Originally, the din was that they couldn't carry, if they went out with their swords, it's one thing. If they never did them, now they couldn't carry, and they just leave them where they were, and make a pile of guns, not bring them back with them. Look at Rashi. They put a place outside the walls. They wouldn't bring them to the city. Look at Rashi. Basically, the enemies saw them leaving or walking, identified them. So they chased them. They never had their guns, these guys with their swords. They went to take their swords. And the enemies came in after them. We've seen similar ideas, remember? We saw something about not being able to wear like studded shoes. Remember that? That they trampled people. We saw the Gemara like that, where they trampled them and they killed everybody on their shoes. And there was a mass trampling. Some idea over here. So the enemies came in and saw them. Dachaku zetzeh. So because the place where they hid in their swords was so tzafuf, right? So the enemies coming in, they ended up squashing into one another. Vahargu zetzeh, ended up killing each other. From that moment, they said, you know what, don't leave the swords in a narrow, small, enclosed place. Rather take your weapons home with you, etc. So the question over here, so now that was the first question over here was, how do we explain the fact that in the Mishnah it says, and then on the other hand, we seem to be limiting it, not lim koman, but only to bring your swords with you, but you're still limited to 2,000 amas. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, no, look, Kashinada, he says, Kan shenitzchu yishot et umot ha'olam, kan shenitzchu umot ha'olam et atzman. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. If Am Yisrael won, if they won the war and the girl will run away, they got 2,000 Amos. They can't go anywhere else. If they were beaten, they can go as much as they want, as far as they want, back to the house. They can go, basically, if they were beaten up on the battlefield, you don't expect them to stick around outside there. They've run away and they've managed to escape. You let them go all the way back to the house. So that he got a different answer altogether. They say the Mishnah is saying, correct. If it's chosrim from a milchama and they lost the war, they can go all the way back to the house. If they won the war, they go to stay where they are. Amrav Yehuda Amarav, Nochim Shetzaru al Ayarot Yisrael. So if you've got Goyim, they don't have got a, what do you call it, Shetzaru, they've got a, not an ambush, what's it called, a siege on the city. And you're Chidlehem Bekli Zainan. Fein Mechadin Alehem Eta Shabbat. Look at this, you can't go out and fight them and you can't break Shabbos. Tanah Miyachi, Nochim Shetzaru v'chulei. So now the Gemara brings a brighter. This is only when they came for monetary purpose. In other words, they came to try and extort money from you. Therefore, no one's life is at risk. They don't want to come to kill. So you can't break Shabbos and you can't go out with swords to fight them on Shabbos. They came to kill. Then you can, no problem. And if you're on a border town now, let's say, I don't know, what's a border town in our minds? I don't know, like up there in the north, Katrin. I suppose could be considered a border town. Or, what did you say, Salah? What?
Matula is right there on the border.
Oh, Matula, thank you, yeah, Matula. Right? So, like, so, I feel a law about this guy, if I should, Eli, this guy, Tevin, Bakash. So, like, if they're coming from a border town, you're basically guarding them. You look at the you're on the end, stopping them from coming into Israel. So they, even if they come just for Tevin or Kash, for basic stuff, you can go out and fight them. I'm Rav Yosef Bar Minyum, I'm Rav Nachman. Ubal Keira Smucha de Svar Damia. Bavel Keira Smucha de Svar Damia. She says Bavel is like a border town. I suppose Bavel, the Jewish area where the Jews lived, is like, in Bavel. And the Gemara says, but Tirgumen Naharda. We're speaking specifically about Naharda. I saw in the Shtal that says that Naharda was on the river Prat, or Nahar Prat. And it was at the end of the border of Bavel, and it was constantly being conquered by the Persians and all other armies. There were basically a lot of battles going on over there to capture the area. So Naharda was one of those border towns. But we got a little bit sidetracked over here because we're busy discussing now this idea of people going out to fight, what their limits they can come back in. Darshav Dostai Demin Biri. Mai Dichtiv Vayagil David Lomar Hinei Plishtim Nechimim Bekeila. What does that mean? That David said to David, telling that the Plishtim are fighting at Keilah, and they are shosim et granot. How do you translate the shosim in English? How do they translate shosim et granot? Give me English there, please.
They are pillaging the threshing floors.
Okay. So basically, the goyim have come to Keilah, and they raiding the place. It says, Tana Keilah, iras muchal esfareta. Right, we see that Kida was a border town. They have law bar. And basically, what were they? They said they're pillaging the granaries. Right, so they basically came there only for straw. And look at Rashi. They have law bar. Afa pichen masar David atzmo laatzil. And therefore, it said over there, "Vayagid le David lemor inay plishtim." Tichti v'hem ashosim in agranot. Tichti v'ishal David b'ashem lemor. Alech v'ikaiti b'plishtim. He went to ask Hashem, can you go and wipe them out? So David himself wanted to even take them on, and it was all only about straw and tevin. Vayom Hashem al David, lech v'kita, go do it. V'plishtim v'oshate et keila, and go save keila. So now the Gemara sidetracks there for a second and gets a bit concerned here with David HaMelech. It says, Vayishal David b'Hashem le'mor. Right? Vayishal David b'Hashem seems to imply that David went to ask from the Urim v'Tumim, from the Kohen Gadol, to speak, basically to use Nevuah. The Gemara says, "My kami ba'ile, right? Ilay me ishari I asur. If you're asking the Urim v'Tumim, look at Rashi v'Shabbatat v'Shabbos. If it's mutar asur, harei beitin osher shura matika. And there was a beitin there. Look at Rashi. Umidi da asur v'isur v'heter lo mishayil b'Urim v'Tumim. Says Rashi. Isur v'heter questions you ask beitin. You don't ask Hashem. You don't got an Urim v'Tumim. That's not what the Urim v'Tumim is about. Is it asur buta? You got a beitin. You got dayanim." Well, it says, no, Elohim mitzlach, ilo mitzlach. He went to find out if he'd be successful or not successful. The Gemara says, "Daikadam." You can see also in the Lashon. Tichtiv lecha, and the pasuk says, "Vehikita beplishtim vehoshata et kelo." Rashi Amar mevasra the nitzach shma mina. He was really asking about Ishvei, which is an interesting derivative here from this whole Gemara. I could have sidetracked, write it down. That the Urim v'Tumim is not for halachic shailas. Urim v'Tumim is to ask if you're going to be successful or not be successful, if you're allowed to go to fight them. But not if it's a mutar on Shabbos or not. For that you're going to go to Beit Din. Right? It's quite amazing. You don't ask, that was a Gemara's concern here. You don't ask Beit Din about that. You don't ask the Urim v'Tumim to go to Beit Din. Okay, we carry on now with our Mishnah, which is Mishi Ashav Baderech. And we discussed this the other day. The idea of Hefker Kone or not, remember? We had it on, if you look on Mem Gimel Amud Bet. Actually, it's a Tosfot on Mem Gimel, but it's part of Mem Aleph. It's Mem Aleph, not Mem Gimel. The Tosfot's there, but we had the question of Hefker Kone, right? Now, if a person's sleeping, so basically it's like a Hefker, right? Look at this Tosfot here for 1 second. Just go to Mem Gimel Amud Bet. It's worth quickly looking at this before you do Mishnah. Prophet says the mutarinatem shekfar haiti mister kelbus. We had the case there with Rabbi Gamliel when they were coming on the boat and they weren't sure if they had arrived back inside the tchum of the port before Shabbos. Rabbi Gamliel said, "No, it's okay. I've got mash for ferret, and I saw that we were within 2,000 amas of the port, and therefore, when we arrive there, you can disembark, you can get off the boat, and you can basically wander around." So, what was really happening over there? Nobody went and put down bread. They weren't even walking there. They were on the boat. But nonetheless, because the intention was that they wanted to shovet in the city, they were already in the 2,000 Amet Chub, was if they were there. Look at this Tosfot here. Afil Rabbi Meir, the Amal Kaman, which is our story we're going to learn now in a second. Let's say later on. Mi sheyashav baderech va'amad. He was sitting down on the side of the city, resting. He never intended to go into the city. It's Erev Shabbos. And suddenly he gets up and he sees he's close to the city. If his intention wasn't to go into the city, in other words, if his kavona wasn't to be shovet in the city, and now he says, look, I'm actually after the city, but it's really too late. Shabbos has come in. He can't go into the city, says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Nezer, on the other hand, Rabbi Gamliel, on the other hand, told these guys on the boat over here that even though they were on the boat, but because they had intended to go into the city, the fact they were within 2,000 hours, they could go into the city. Harry May is saying that if you woke up, you were sitting down on the floor, you woke up and you saw the city, but you weren't intending to go, you can't go. So we see the usage of the city as your tchum is based on your intentions. So now Tosfot points out over here that even though Rabbi Meir says on our sugar, we'll read in a second, that if you were sitting down and you got up and you saw you were close to the city, you can't go into the city. Right? Hacha, with regards to the case of the boat with Rabbi Gamliel, mit kavni mayurish bot ba'ir, they intended to go into the city. Just they were panicking, they hadn't actually made it into the tchum. Vayu somchin al shvoferet Rabbi Gamliel, the Rabbi Gamliel. Therefore, Rabbi Meir over here is going to tell us in this Mishnah now that you can't go into the city. There with Rabbi Gamliel, he agreed. So if your intention was to go into the city and you were close to the city before Shabbos, so you try to rush to get to the city now, and as Shabbos comes in, you're 2,000 amas away, you haven't made it yet, it doesn't matter. As long as your intention was to go into the city, even though you haven't made it to the city, it's as if you're in the city and you could go into the city and use the whole city as your shvita. That's the difference between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Meir. So it's important to have that background when we see Rabbi Meir over here. So look at the Mishnah. Mishi Ashab Baderech. His intentions weren't that. Lo yikanes. He can't go in, dear Rabbi Meir. Right, look at Rashi there, the second narrow line, last narrow line. Lo yikanes leir. Liot kan sha'ir. Ele makom shechashcha lo moder apayim psio penoniot. V'amad makom shekalo yikanes. Basically, what's he saying over here? that if he had intended to go into the city, and he was in 2,000 arms of the city, he can go in and he becomes like the member of the city. He's got the whole city to walk around in on Shabbos. If he wasn't intending to, but now he decides to, so basically where he is now is where he was kone his shvita, and now he can walk 2,000 amas and no longer any more than that. Okay, that's Rabbi Meir. On the other hand, right, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yikanesh, Rabbi says, no, go in. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Masaya. Rabbi Yehuda says, there was a story, a case happened, Nichash Rabbi Tarfon, Belomit Kamein. And he went in, look at the very first wide lines of Rashi there. He never knew that it got dark side. He was right in the Tchum of the Ear within 2,000 hours. He never even intended to be in that town. Where he was, bottom line is, but he went into the town. It seems like Rabbi Tarfon Paskin that you could go around. Rabbi Huda is basing it on Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, the Gemara is a very short Gemara. Tanya, we got a bright. Rabbi Huda Masa, Rabbi Tarfon, Shayam Alech, Badir Kashkaro, Luchutli, same with the Mishnah. Le Shacharit, Metzauhu, Roe Bakar. In the morning, the shepherd saw Amrulo, Rabbi, Harail Lefanecha, Hikanes. So he went to sleep. Obviously, he woke up in there and he never knew. I remember it was dark, it was misty. I don't know, maybe Arafel, and he couldn't see. Suddenly in the morning he wakes up and the shepherd said to him, hey Rabbi, look over there. You're 100 meters from the city. Why don't you go into the city? Nichnas Rabbi Midrash. He went in there, Midrash Kol Yom Kulo. Right, so now look at this Besurah Shas over here. Besurah Shas over here says Amru Lo. But the Besurah Shas brings the Girsa from the Sheiltot. In Pasha Vesharach, he's got the Amar Le Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Raya. That's your proof that he made a mistake. He woke in the morning, went to the Beit Midrash. Shema b'dibo hayata. What does it mean, b'dibo? Look at Rashi. Shema b'dibo hayata. K'she yashva sham, haya yodeh shu b'toch ha'pam yukvo shlo. Maybe it's short, not that he never knew. The fact that the shepherd told him, you're close by, they just pointed it out to him, but he really intended to do it in the first place. Maybe that was the case all along. What's the problem? Right, or Beit HaMidrash, or another possibility, says Rabbi Akiva, maybe Beit HaMidrash moved over to Chumayah, maybe the 2,000 amas that Rabbi Meir said you can walk to, the Beit Midrash happened to be the 2,000 amas. So the fact Rabbi Tarfon walked in is no proof whatsoever, because we haven't got a clue what Rabbi Tarfon was thinking, or where the Beit Midrash really was. So it seems to be over here that Rabbi Akiva seems to be siding with Rabbi Meir. Okay, new Mishnah. Misha Yashan Baderech, he fell asleep on the way, and he woke up, he never knew that it already got dark. Shabbos come in. Yes, to apay my malachol ruach to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. He says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you got 2,000 amas and that's it. The Chachamim Omrim ain't well at arba amas. Chachamim say even worse than that. Well, even more strict. He's only got 4 amas. Look at Rashi there, second wide lines towards the end. Hoyo v'yashan. Haya lo nit kaven. Not shvita. Since he was sleeping, you're sleeping. You can't call shvita. He had no intention. He was sleeping. God fell asleep at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He woke up at 10 o'clock at night. You can't say that he was kone shvita. He went to sleep. So Rabbanan says, I only got 4 amas. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nuri says, no, he's got 2,000 amas. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Fuhu Be'em Tz'an. Rabbi Lezer says, on those dalet amot, this we saw at the beginning of this amot, right? Rabbi Lezer says that those dalet amot that Rabbanan was speaking about, he's in the middle. Okay, remember we saw that now. If he's in the middle, he's basically got, he can go there and there, right? Either direction, we'll see that in a moment. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Le'eze Ruach She'yirtze Yeilech. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. As a ruach sheyirtze, yitol dalet amot. V'achar shebriel letzad ze, en yachol lachzir v'livro letzad acher. So Rabbi Yehuda says like this. When he stops, he's got 4 amas. He can choose the 4 amas are there or the 4 amas are there. But once he's chosen which side to go, he's stuck. He can't now say 4 amas and 4 amas. So when Rabbi Yehuda says he's in the middle, don't think he's in the middle of 4 amas. He's got to decide where his 4 amas are. And that's who can go. So that's basically a little bit of a difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer. Umori Rabbi Yehuda, she'im birer lo she'ani yachol lachzor bo. He can't go back, right? Hayu na shnayim miktzat amotav shel zeh, betoch amotav shel zeh. Now's your picture, Cloud. You can bring up those pictures onto the screen. So now it's like, hayu shnayim miktzat amotav. There were 2 guys now together. We both stuck out there in the middle of the bika. And I've got my dalet amas, and you've got your dalet amas. We're basically 6 amas apart. You see there? Stop, 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 stop. See at the bottom there? We're 6 amas apart. I've got 4 amas where I am and 4 amas to the left. And you've got 4 amas where you are from your, and you've got 4 amas to the right. In the middle of us, there's 2 common amas. See that? Right? So that's the case over here. Look at Rashi. Shnei mutavsh omdim ze rachok mize sheish amot. That's what I said. You're standing 6 amos apart from each other. The mivlain shte amot shekol echad betoch shel chaveru. And you got the 2 amos common each other. Now don't go down there yet. That's another case. Mevin vochli betoch tan shte amos. You can within those 2 amos we can share. I can bring you my food to there, and you can bring your food to there. And can you see my mouse without moving around? Can you see my mouse? No. Okay. So basically, those 2 amos we have got common amos. Ubilvad, what's the condition? That you can't go from, you've got to be careful not to go outside those 4 amas of yours into his 2 amas of his on his own. Hayushlosha. Now go to the next slide, Clav. Move up more. Okay, now there are 3 of you. Right? So now it's 12 amas. Because we've got 6 amas the first half. The one guy in the middle, right? So he's got 4 amas of his, right? Now, if he has a little more complicated because the middle guy hasn't got any common amas, right, with both of them. He's got on half on the one side where he is in the middle to our right, let's say, he's got his 2 amas, then 2 amas common with the guy to his right. And to his left, he's got 2 common. See, so basically, he's really getting 4 amas in either direction. Can you see that? If you look at the guy in the middle, he's actually getting a benefit of more than 4 amas because we're saying he's got where he is in the middle. But from where he's in the middle, he's actually going, if he goes in either direction, then we said the rabbi, it said he must choose which way he wants to go. And we saw there, right? So he has a little bit different because Rabbi Yehuda said he's got to choose which way he wants to go. Rabbi Eliezer says he's in the middle. So Rabbi, this would be a bit of a problem for Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer would say he can't go left or right. He must make up his mind. You with me? Because he's showing us he can really go in either direction. Look at the Mishnah. Yishoshava emtzei muvla benehen, hu mutar imahen, v'emutar imo, v'shtayim achitzunim asurin zeim ze. And on this, Rabbi Shimon, what's it similar to Rabbi Shimon? The guy's got 3 chatzot. Go down to the next slide, Clav. Go down to the next slide. If you see there, the chatzerot. So there's a chatzer, and there's 3 entrances to the Shtar Rabbim. Can you see there? There's two houses, and all have an entrance to the Rabbim, and they've got doors between them as well. Right? Irvu shtayim ha'emtzait. If the one on the outside did an eruv with the middle one, and this did an eruv with the middle one, you can see the lines, the eruv. Right, so the middle one is mutar to go in both directions, and the outside ones can each come to the middle one. But the outer ones haven't got an eruv with each other. There's the outer ones have got an eruv with the middle one, and the middle one can therefore go in both directions in each way. But the extremities on either side can't go across from one to the other. It's the same idea over here. This is the same concept of this guy sitting there in the tchum. Okay, close it, please. Bye, Rava. Rava asked a question. My kasava Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So we said in the beginning of the Mishnah, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said as follows. Whoever slept on the journey, Vasham Derech, he never knew that it was dark. He's got 2,000 amas in either direction. Full stop, that's what he's got. Right? So Gemara, what was he thinking? So Gemara says, Misvar kasavar Hefze Hefker Kolin Shvita. Seems over here, the guy was sleeping, he's like a Hefze Hefker. He's right when he's fast asleep. There's no da'at going on over here. It's like an object for intents and purposes. And the fact that he was sleeping was kone shvita. And therefore, he's got 2,000 amas in the direction. That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was saying. So the Gemara says, wait, uvedinu didn't look but kalim. Really, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri should have spoken here about kalim. Vahad, the kanifrega ba'ada, why did he specifically choose a person? Lo adiacha kochan de rabbanan. Right, to prove to you over here the koach of the derabanan. Right, now what does he mean to koach the derabanan? Because we, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, we according to him, who's about, there's something going on there, let's just mute, yeah. Right, he says, right, what's going on over here? According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, a hefker kone shvita. Look in the Mishnah, back in the Mishnah. מי שיש יד יכולה שלך ויש לו פעם הלכו לוח דירה ביוחד מנורי, חכמים אומרים, אין לו אלא 4 אמות. And חכמים say, no, you've only got that amot. It was hefka, אין לו קונה שביטה. Now, if we had just spoken about Kalim, it would have been pretty simple. I right? would have said, Rabbi Yochanan was saying that Kalim can Kodesh Shvita, and Rabbanan would say Kalim can't. And what we have said, Rabbanan say Kalim can't. Why? Because the Kalim, they haven't got Da'at. They were never able to really make a decision in Kodesh Shvita. Right? That's what Gemara says over here. That his whole argument here is, Lo Dechra Rabbanan. Da'afa Gavdi Kalameimar Ho'il V'Ne'ur Kana. Right? Because we know that a human being, when he was awake, he could kone shvita. Yashan nami kana kamash mulan delo. So maybe that's the whole idea over here. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri really believed that the din should have been taught with regards to kli. But he specifically chose people to teach us that din, to show us to the extent that chachamim are machmir, that a human being, when he was awake, he could acquire his shvita there. So we both had a haba mina that even though he's sleeping, because he could have when he was awake. So, okay, we often see that if you could have done something when you were sleeping, it's as if you did it when you were awake. Same, that's sort of idea. So why do we say that here? Since a human being can kone when he's awake, see, if he's sleeping, then he wants to kone. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that that is the situation, but Chachamim say no. That's the kavash and delo. That's the one way we can explain Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Or Dilma. Maybe differently. Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, ba'al mechefze hefker ein kodin shvita. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri even himself says, as a rule, hefze hefka, like a sleeping person or just any object, no ba'alut, nobody can make a decision for it, can't kone shvita. Aval hacha hainu taima. Why does he say here yes? Because it's a human being. And hoiva narukane, yashinami kane. So the question is, what was Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri svara? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say that always hefker kone. And really, his deal would apply with Kalim and human beings, etc. And the reason why he dafka spoke in the language of human beings, Shahar Rabbanan say that Hefker and Okone, even with a human being. Or maybe, no, maybe Yochanan ben Nuri would normally say a Kli wouldn't Kone if it was Hefker, no ownership. And the only reason why here a sleeping person can Kone is because if he was awake, he could Kone, therefore even if he's sleeping, he can still Kone. And Rabbanan will say no. So that's, we've got to try and understand now, what is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri trying to really achieve in telling us this din? Rabbi Yosef now answers. He says, Toshma, let's learn from a transcript of Braita what's going on over here. And he brings a Braita. It's something which I never thought about, maybe one of you have thought about it, but rain water coming down on Shabbos or Yontif. Right? The rain, think about it, the rain, where does the rain come from? The rain comes from the clouds. Where does the clouds come? The clouds come from the sea, or from the lakes, the dams that pick up the water from the sea. So is there such a thing as the water kone shvita? If the water is kone shvita, it has to kone shvita Erev Shabbos. So where was the water Erev Shabbos? In the sea. Because yesterday I was in the sea, it became clouds last night, and the clouds came over, and now this morning I've got rain. Okay, that's what's going on in this Gemara now. So it was like this. So now Rabbi Yosef wants to try and bring a proof that what's going on in Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's shita here and explaining what he's explaining. So Rabbi Yosef is like a toshma, let's learn for a bright day. Geshamim sheyardu merev yom tov, rain that fell erev yom tov. So yesh lahem apayim amalachor ruach. If the rain fell erev yom tov, that rainwater essentially has got 2,000 amas in either direction that water can go. If it fell by Yom Tov, the rain fell on Yom Tov, right? Look at Rashi over here, by Yom Tov, im yadu by Yom Tov, harei hein kerigle kol Adam. They're like any person. What does it mean, kerigle kol Adam? Look at Rashi. Shelo yata lehen shvita ben hashmashot, ulochol tzad shirei v'adam yachol litlan. Says they're like any person, right? Shelo aita lahen shvita. The water never had the shvita, and therefore they can go wherever the chol am shirev Adam. Wherever you were, if you had an eruv and you want to go, you can take the rainwater with you. In other words, if the rainwater dropped on you, no, you have to shake it off. You can take it with you if it rained on Yontif. Why? Ia might be shlomo k'sav Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri chefze hefker konin shvita. If you say Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that hefker chefze hefker, which rainwater is chefze hefker, there's no owner to the rainwater. It's not my water. Right? So then how money? Right? Who's this? This is Rabbi Yochanan. Because then this brighter makes sense to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says chefze hefker konin shvita. And therefore if they fell on Yontif, Right? So if it was Erev Yontif, they've got Apayim Amela Kol Ruach because they were Kone Shvita when they landed Erev Yontif. And Erev Yontif is when you Kone the Shvita. Remember, you have to put Erev Yontif, Erev Yontif. If you say that they landed on Yontif, so then that was too late to Kone Shvita because you had a Kone Shvita Erev Yontif. So therefore, they can correctly call Adam. Ela'iya Mart Chefza Hefka Ain Kone Shvita. We said Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri is of the opinion that a Chefza, not a human being, a Kli, is not Kone Shvita. So how many? So who's this brighter gang like? Because this bright is clearly saying when the raindrops fell Erev Yontif, they were Kone Shvita. And they are Chefza Hefka. So if Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri said it's not Chefza Hefka Kone Kalim, then this brighter here can't be like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. Lord Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, Lord Rabbi Nan, and definitely Rabbi Nan, because Rabbi Nan said that you've only got that at Amot. And the brighter said 2,000 Amos. Are you with me? Are you all with me? I will acknowledge the extent of saying a bit of Apikoros, that this sounds highly like off the wall type of ridiculous idea that where would you think that raindrops, Kone Shvita. But yeah, it's, the bright is making a point over here. So now that's the question that we asked there. If you say it's Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, it makes sense that he was Kone Shvita. And if Rabbi Yochanan says he had Kone Shvita, we're not sure who that bright is, neither Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri or Rabbanan. Now, Yativ Abaya, V'ka'amala Lahashmaita. So Abaya was sitting there, and he was saying over the sugya we've just spoken about now. Remember, Rav Yosef had taught. Rav Yosef said on the question of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, who's it like, brought the brighter of the raindrops? If it's Erev Yontif, etc. If it's Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, it makes perfectly good sense. If not, we don't know who the Tana of this Mishnah bright is. Not Rabbi Yochanan, and not Rabbanan. So now he was sitting there. Amar Rav Safra Rabbaya. So Rav Safra says to Abaya, V'dilma, maybe what's going on over there in that brighter, really, why are you battling to understand, according to Rabbi Yosef, explaining this whole story over here about the raindrops, if they fell Erev Yontif, they got 2,000 hours, if they fell on Yontif, they got like anybody else, whoever's got them, so they're Kone Shvita, on Kone Shvita, why don't we say something else altogether? Dilma say like this, B'shamim asmuchim le'ir askinan, we're talking here about raindrops that fell close to the town, and the people in the town, they have in their mind to corner those raindrops. They are raindrops. And therefore, when we saw previously, I think could be connected, that if you're walking towards a town, Erev Yontif, and you intend to go into that town and you make it into the tchum, so basically the town becomes your tchum, so to have the guys in the town say, those raindrops are ours. You know, the raindrops are just outside the town. They're still in the Tchum's town. They become the town's Andrei raindrops. And therefore, we understand why in Yontif, Arahen Kariglei Kol Adam. Or even if they were outside the town, they were Shovet. But nothing to do with Hefka, Kain, or Hefka, etc., etc., etc. That's what he says to him. He says like this. He says, V'anshal Ta'ir Datam Aleu, Amalei. So now, Abaya says to Rav Safra, Amalei, Lo Sal Kedatach. I don't think that you can say that. He says, "Lo sakadat." Where Rashi Abia, "Lo sakadatach." Lo'ukmei time mishum dat anshe. I don't think you can say it like you want to say that. It's because of the guys in the town that had their minds on the water. Ela time mishum dechefze hefke konin shvita. It's because of hefke of hefke shvita. Rabbi says, "I prefer the first explanation of whether hefke kalim are konin shvita or not. Why?" And he brings a proof. He says, "He quotes a mishnah over here, and this is a mishnah in Masechet Beitza." It says, Bor shel yachid, if you've got a well, a private well in your house, karigle yachid, the water that you draw out of that well, Rashi says, yeah, did not know beducht achid, another place, but didn't kashin adalev al korchach. It's very, very important, Rashi, this. You know what? We'll go back to the Rashi after. Let's just quickly read the Mishnah, then we'll go back to the Rashi. So that he quotes like this, Abai. So we've got a Mishnah there, Bor shel yachid, berigle yachid. If you've got it, look at the Rashi there, bala bor, it's your bor. Im lakach mehem adam acher, en yachol olichan, lemakom sheze yachol olichan. The water in my well is restricted to my abilities to walk around on Shabbos. So if I've got an Eruv that I can go 2,000 Amos east and another 2,000 Amos from there, and you come into my well and you take water, you can't carry that water anywhere else outside of the Tchum other than if you go where my Tchum is, because the water follows me. That's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, Bor shel yachid kareg layachid, v'shelo ta'ir kareg ta'ir. And if it's a well that belongs to the town, look at Rashi there, two lines on the bottom of the narrow lines. Kerglei ha'ir, alpayim nakol ruach, v'mirev ze l'ma'arav u'l'mizrach, en yachol ze lo tzein chutz la'alpayim. It's the town's well. It's limited to the town. If an individual made an error, it doesn't help me. I'm limited by the town's water. V'shel olei bavel. Look at this. Olei bavel. What does it mean, water of olei bavel? Look at Rashi. Or the very first wide lines. Olei bavel here means shebederech she'olim mibavel et Yisrael v'hu shel hefka. There's a well in the street. We saw those wells. Where that's why we put those jumadim around. Remember? You've got these public wells in the street. If you take water from there, you are limited with that. Keraglei ha'memale. The guy who's fixing it, who's putting it out, in other words, he corners it as he takes the water out. The chol minute they have care, mind the magvele kane, says Rashi. As you take it out, it becomes yours. So these are hefka wells. When you lift up the water, it becomes your water. But we see over here that there is such a concept over here that the water is limited to the individual or to the town or to the owner. Right? But Tanya, we've got another writer which says, Boshel Shvatim, Yeshtim Apai Mama Lechol Ruach. So now this is our Bible brings me a Mishnah and a writer, and there's a theory between them. Because on the one hand, we saw that Bor Shel Olei Bavel, right? And Bor Shel Air. And this writer says, Bor Shel Shvatim, Yesh Ma'apayim Amal Kol Ruach. Look at Rashi Aviyah. Bor Shel Shvatim, Tahainu Shel Olei Bavel. He says, Aviyah Rashi, that Bor Shel Shvatim of the tribes is the same concept as Bor Shel Olei Raga, because the tribes are coming up to Harabait. Therefore, it's another word for Hefka. Yesh Ma'apayim Amal Kol Ruach. Therefore, why is that? Amal Kanu Shvita. The Inan Keragle Kol Adam, they were Kole Shvita, the water themselves. The one well says that the water goes after me. In other words, the water itself isn't Kole Shvita. The second, that's the Mishnah. The brighter says that the water is Kole Shvita. Now go back to that Rashi for a second where I said that Ditna Nami Beduchta Achrita. That's about 10 lines up from the narrow Rashi. Rabbi said over there, he says, Umatnitin Kashina Adade Valkorcha Chadaminayu Tukmek Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. He says, one of them has to be Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And we'll see from there, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri proves that Heftze Hefka are Kone. Look back in the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Kashina Dada. So Gemara says, Elav Shma Mina, can't we say the difference between the Brayta and the Mishnah? Is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Harabanan. The one's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that says that the Heftze are Kone. And then we answer up the question originally, was Rabbi Yochanan Svara? Did he say that Heftze Hefka or Kone, and the reason he chose Adam here was to prove that Rabbanan was so Machmir? Or did he say, no, Heftze Hefka on Kone, just here with a person, because when he was awake, he could have Kone, when he sleep, he's also Kone, but he can't him not? We've just proven now that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that Clay, Kalim, Hefka also Kone. Okay? So that's now Rabbi says, Abaye has this whole story over with Rav Safra. Kiatle kamen Rav Yosef. So now when Abaye meets Rav Yosef, right? Rashi says over here, Kiata Abaye le kamen Rav Yosef. Right? So he comes to Rav Yosef. Amalei hachi kam Rav Safra. This is what Rav Safra said, and he quotes Rav Safra's story there, which we saw earlier on. That can't you say that there was this water close to the town? Why did he get involved in this whole story? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Hefka Kone or not? He said that's what he says to him. Vahachi ahadrile. And this is what I answered him. And he tells the story that he quoted this Mishnah, the story between the Mishnah and the Brayta, and he's very excited that he proved Rav Yosef's opinion to Rav Safra. Remember, Rav Yosef, if you go back about 15 lines, it was Amar Rav Yosef, Toshma, Geshev Yadu Miyom Tov She'esh Demar Pai Mamal, Kol Ruach. It was Rav Yosef who brought the svara there of the water landing, the rainwater, Erev Yontif for Yontif. Abaya repeated that whole svara to Rav Safra and explained to Rav Safra the theory in the Brayta and the Mishnah, and very excited he's telling Rav Yosef how he basically gave over the svara, and he's very excited. Look what Rav Yosef says to him. So Amarle, Rav Yosef says to Abaya, Amarlo Temelemi Gufa, why don't you talk him tafke in the Brayta of the rainwater? Why did you get sidetracked and go and bring out the water of the wells and the whole story and the story and the Brayta and the Mishnah? You should have told him in the example of the rain raining down on Yom Tov Shabbos, Migufa. So, Isal Kedatach, this is what you should have said to Rav Safra. Isal Kedatach, Geshamim Hasmuchin La'ir Askinan. If you, Rav Safra, wanted to say, why was the water there, Kone Shvita? Because it was close to the town, it was the town's water, and they made the idea, etc. Then hi yeshtem alpaim ama, right? The bright, look at the bright there. It says Toshma Kshibshi Adam Yerub Tov Yeshtahin alpaim ama lechol ruach. So says Rav Yosef, Why did the Brita use the Lashon Yesh Lahen Alpaim Amma? The water has got 2,000 Ammas. Right? Lukruch, Hai Karegle Anshe Otai Irmi Baile. The Brita should have said, right, that Geshemim Yod Meir Yontov, not they've got 2,000 Ammas, Ele Karegle Ha'ir. If it's their water, why is it limited to 2,000 Ammas? It should be like Ragle Ha'ir. It should be able to bring the water into the town and walk around the whole town. And the fact that Brighton used the words Apayim Amma and not Keragle Ha'ir, like the people in the town, is proof it's got nothing to do with people in the town. That's what he answers him. Okay. So basically, that's the end of that sugya over there. Let's just, what is tomorrow's daf like? I'm thinking of stopping here. You know, let's stop over here.